came to you with my heart in pieces and found God with healing in His hands. I turned to you, put everything behind me, and found the God makes all things new. And I look to you, I'm drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you, I stepped out on the ocean, you caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seat has changed, but you stay and stay, 'cause you're the God of all my days. I ran from you, I wandered in the shadows, and found the God who relentlessly pursues. I hid from you, haunted by my failure, and found the God whose grace still covers me. And I fell on you when I was at my weakest, and found the God, the lifter of my head. And I worshiped you and felt you right beside me. And you're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, but you stay and stay. You're the God of all my days. In my worry, God, you are my stillness. In my searching, God, you are my answer. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make. And I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, but you stay and stay, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, but you stay and stay, 'cause you're the God of all my days. You're the God of all my days. You're the God of
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Corey. You know, the disciple Peter, before he became an apostle, he got in a situation and he ended up warming his hands by the enemy's fire, remember? But the Lord used that and drawed him and brought him into a place of dependence upon himself, and he put a fire in him that was of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And that fire propelled him to a place where he was able to minister the glory of God. So I heard this phrase, and we're going to use this as a title, from the fire to the glory. From the fire to the glory. And so let's see where this goes. Isaiah chapter 43, I think. Isaiah chapter 43. For sake of time, I'm going to read one verse, verse number 7. Isaiah 43, verse number 7. Now, this is God talking to His church. Okay? This is Old Testament, but it's New Testament because it's prophetic. It says, even everyone that is called by my name, so that's me. Amen. For I have created him or her. I've created them for what? God's talking about you. He's talking about His church. You were created for His glory. Amen. I have formed him. I formed you. Yea, I have made him. So not only did God form us, but He made us. It's one thing to be formed. It's another thing to be made again. Brand new. Come on now. Second birth. Second chance in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Going right along with that. Verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now what does the Spirit of the Lord do in that liberty in our lives? Verse 18. But we all, talking to the church, not some, everybody in the body of Christ, but we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory. Come on. As in a glass. Now, we know that Paul said, and when I was a child, I spoke as a child, but when I become a man, a grown, a mature person that we talked about this morning, I put away childish things. And he said, right now I'm looking through the glass darkly, but there's coming a day when I'm going to see it as I need to see it. Amen? Come on now. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass of glory, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm ready for a change, aren't you? I'm ready for a change. God is getting ready to do a change in your life and my life. The reason why it's just us here tonight is because He needed just the core people here. He wanted to speak a special message to us where somebody on the outside looking in might not understand. But you and I, we're here tonight. We're here to receive a revelation. We're here to receive a new level of anointing, to look into things that we've never looked into before, and to move from the fire of salvation to the fire of the glory that is around the throne of God. Amen? And He's going to take us someplace because you were created for such a time as this. You, from the foundation of the world, were put in this situation to be able to show forth the glory of the Lord. Because you've been called to go out into a dark world and to bring light. You've been called to see those who are bound up to be delivered. Amen? So let's look at an Old Testament example that will put this and perspective in our lives. Go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at Moses. Hallelujah. You and I, we have been drawn just like Moses, and we've been called into doing something for the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Now Jethro, I believe, means abundance. Abundance. You and I, we've got in our life all the abundance that we need to do what God's called us to do. Amen? We've got more in our household than we think. We've got more at our disposal than we think. Amen? Moses' life took a 40-year detour, and the world would say, the devil would say, Moses, you messed up. God had a call on your life, and you got ahead of God, and you got out of step with God, and you messed up. God said, no. God said, no, I'm using these 40 years to get you in a place to do and be all that I called you to be. Come on, let your hand to heaven and thank God, I am not a mistake. Come on now. We are not a mistake. We may have been around a little bit. We may have not moved as fast as we would have liked, but God can use all of that, amen, for the will that He has destined for us. Now, here He is. He's a keeper of the sheep. And He led the flock to the backside of the desert, and He came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, right now, there may be some areas in your life and my life, Horeb means desolate. There may be some things that look like, man, there is nothing growing here. There is nothing possible here. Let me tell you, that's when something becomes everything. That's when nothing becomes the possibility of God. When you look and I look and we know there's nothing we can do, but we have to see the glory of God. Amen. We have to get to that place where the fire will burn out the dross and it will allow the true riches and the true promise and the true provision of God to come forth. Now notice what he said. Verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto Moses, in a flame of what? Fire. Oh, hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he, Moses, looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Ain't you glad that the fire of the Holy Ghost can come up inside of you and I, and it will not consume the good things of God? Come on, all the precious metal, the gold, the silver, the gemstones, all of those things, they're just made more pure. The things that you're going to take to heaven with you, they get purified by the fire of God. And the glory of God shines on them. And that's how a lost and dying world sees the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? So here we are. You're not going to lose anything. You're going to gain everything. That fire of God can burn some dross out of our life and bring more of the promise and the provision of the Lord into our life. And Moses said, now, this is what you and I have got to make this commitment to the Lord tonight. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. You and I have got to be willing to stop what we're doing. Now, his livelihood was these sheep. His obligation was to his father-in-law. But all of a sudden, he sees something that is more important than the natural. He sees something that is the eternal. And tonight, I believe with all of my heart that there's going to be an impartation. There's going to be a divine revelation in every one of our lives because you're here by destiny. It was ordained for you to be here. And I believe you're going to see some things that you never saw before, and they're going to be seen by fire. And when you see it by fire, it's going to open up the glory of God into your life, into my life. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And he said, I will now, right this moment, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw, Brother Whitby and I were talking about this before church, but I didn't know why we were talking about it. How many times do you think Jesus has walked by looking to see if we were looking to him? We were talking about in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John come into the temple and the lame man lay there. The lame man reached out to them. There's no doubt that same lame man was there when Jesus come in and out of the temple. For whatever reason, he didn't reach out to Jesus. We have no record of it. But when he decided to reach out, he received something. Amen? And tonight, all we've got to do is follow this example. We have got to let God see that we're willing to turn aside. And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, that God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Come on. Here am I. Father God, here we are. We're here tonight. We want the fire. We want the glory. Because not for our own benefit, but for the benefit, Father God, of your plan, of your will. Amen? With all of our heart, in Jesus' name. And God said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, you and I, without the grace of God, we would tremble in fear. But tonight, we're under the dispensation of grace. And tonight, God wants us to look, because he said, I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. I want you to come. I want you to look. I want you to see Jesus on that mercy seat. Amen? He wants us to see that, because that solves every bit of trepidation. It calms every storm. It brings the reality of relationship. It brings the promise into a place where you and I can receive it. Amen? It's ours tonight. And so God says to him in verse number 7, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, I want you to think about this just for a minute tonight, and I wanted to hit home with you. And I ask that the Spirit of God minister to you the way He's ministered to me right now. Do you notice that here Moses is, and he hides his face, because as soon as he looks, his mind goes back to the Egyptian. God doesn't even address it. What does God say? God doesn't say, Moses, I need to talk to you about this Egyptian. I need to talk to you about this. I need to talk to you. No. I have seen my people. I've seen my people. That's what God's wanting to say to us tonight. I'm not concerned about what you did wrong in the past. That has nothing to do with it. I brought you to where you are tonight because I'm going to use you to deliver somebody into the same place that you are right now. Come on, if the devil tries to tell us, oh, tomorrow be better, tomorrow I'll be more free, tomorrow I'll have more victory, tomorrow I'll have more anointing, tomorrow. No, right now. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that you and I need to act and react upon what? Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Verse 8. God said, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God said, I'm here. That's why I come. That's what Jesus said. I come to make what? Make the captives. It says that he led captivity on captive. Amen? That's what our Lord, our Savior, that's what Jesus has done. But now he has to have a vessel to work through. Say, that's me. Come on, you're the vessel of the Lord. A vessel created unto good works. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of bondage, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land that is what? Flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Six enemies that Jesus can take care of through you and I. Verse 9. Now notice this. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Right now, I'm telling you, we're at a tipping point, and it seems like the church is just, well, as long as I can go to church and feel good and then go back home, everything's fine and dandy. Do you realize how close we are to losing our rights? The freedom that we have enjoyed since the founding of this nation is so close to be taken away from you and I. You realize they're sneaking in all kinds of little laws, and they're tagging them on this bill and that bill, and you and I don't even know about it until years later. We're getting so close to losing our tax-exempt status. What's the big deal? It's a big deal. I'm telling you, people, some people won't give if they can't, you know what I mean? Some people can't give if they can't have that, you know, and so that's just the little things, but there's big things that's on the horizon that the devil's got planned. And you and I have got to stand up and say, my God has brought me here to be a deliverer. That's who you are. That's your name. Amen. That's your authority. That's your call. Now, he said this right here. Now, therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel. Okay, so there's a cry going on. They're being oppressed. Now, here's what he said in verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh is always a type of the devil. Amen? You and I, we're going to meet the devil every day. But I'd rather meet him and know where he's at than be like I was before, out playing in the world, and he would sideswipe me because I didn't have a clue where he was at or what he was doing. Amen? Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people. God's got people in the world. Come on now, they're his. The devil doesn't own one thing. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen? Old Testament, New Testament. Psalm 24:1, 1 Corinthians 10:26. God owns it all. So when the devil starts acting like he owns this and owns that, laugh at him. Amen? Right? Come on now. He said, I want you to do this, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of bondage. Oh, glory. Everything that you've been through in your life was practice. Practice for you to trust God, for me to trust God, that we know that God is a delivering God. And what God does for one, He'll do for another. Sometimes I don't want to do certain stuff for certain people. Come on now. And I got to get down on my knees and say, God, my heart's not right in this, so you're going to have to help me. What does He do? He helps. Does He get mad at us? No. He wants honesty. And if we'll just be honest with Him, oh my goodness, He can work with us and He'll help us. Now, I want you to see this, that God said, I'm going to deliver them. But then He says there in the last part of verse 10, that thou mayest. How's God going to do it? He's going to do it through you, through the church. So that means that all of heaven is at your disposal. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, greater shall you do. Amen? John 14:12. Because He went away, and when He went away, He sent that another comforter to anoint you and I to be able to do it. All right, so here's the fire. All of a sudden, Moses is walking, just doing his everyday thing, and the fire of God come. And the fire of God came, and when it came, he realized he had a call in his life. He realized that there was something he needed to do. Tonight, you're sitting in this church house because the fire of the Holy Ghost is in your life. You wouldn't be here. But the fire opened up blinded eyes. It opened up deaf ears. It took the rock-hard heart and it melted it. And God put a brand new heart in you and I with His will and His plan. But if all we ever see is that fire, then we'll be like Moses. We don't have time to cover it, but in these next verses, it's one excuse after another. I don't remember. I think it's 8 excuses. Does anybody know? I'm going from memory. I don't know. But it's one excuse after another that he delivered. That sounds like Greg Proctor. But God. But God. God is so sick of us saying but. He just wants us to say yes. Yes. But he had to get Moses past his excuses. How did he do it? He took him from the fire to the glory. He took him from the fire to the glory. And if you and I tonight, if we'll get past... See, the fire feels good. Come on now. The fire feels good. Oh, man, the doodads. Makes you want to run, makes you want to shout, makes you want to smile, makes you want to giggle. But let me tell you, now the glory is a whole nother ball game. When you get into the glory, you realize you're there by the grace. You realize there with all trepidation that it's the power of God. And if you're not in that place with the right mind, the right attitude, instantly you and I would be dead. Amen? And plus we recognize and realize that God only shows His glory to those who are ready to step up into a place they've never stepped in before. There are new responsibility. See, with a new level of anointing comes a new level of responsibility. And you and I have got to be willing to say yes to it. Amen? Now, notice with me, Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Verse number, for sake of time, number 17. Exodus 33, 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing. See, Moses just withstood. He stood in the place. God was fixing to kill them all. Because they had what? They had rebelled against God again. you and I can help save this nation. I don't care what the devil says. We're not past saving, amen? God has given us grace. We have a reprieve right now. And it's time to walk and work in that reprieve. It's time by the anointing of God to bring the fire, but to bring the glory. Come on now. He said, what was I reading? Jesus. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found what? Grace in my sight. Found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Come on, you've been called by name. You've been named by the Lord, and you've been called by that new name written down in glory. And the grace of God has put you in a place to see the glory of God. And He wants to use you to cause other people not to perish, but to come to repentance, to come to salvation, to come to deliverance. Amen? And here's how it happens. Verse 18. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Will you ask God tonight? Will you ask Him? We ask Him to show you His glory. But you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to step into the glory. You've got to be willing to take the responsibility of what you see in the glory. And if you'll accept that responsibility and if you will step in that glory, you're going to see things that you never saw before. You're going to be called to a new level, a new place, a new position. And with that, you're going to be able to see God use you to lift up, to exalt Jesus. John chapter 12 come to pass. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen? We're going to lift Him up in a new way. A way that we can't even imagine. We can't even understand. Real quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at a New Testament example. Go into the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 2. You know these scriptures, but don't let the familiarity cause you to miss what the Spirit of God is saying to you. I don't know, but He does. Acts 2 and 1. And the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and that fire, what did it do? It set upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? Hallelujah. So here's the fire. Here's the fire. See, the fire draws us to salvation. The fire imparts the Holy Ghost in your life and my life. Now, can you imagine that fire? Everyone there, they could see that fire start setting on each one. And it was cloven. That means it was parted. Each part of it, when they come together because they were in one accord, made the whole fire. Oh, come on now. As they come together in one accord, the multi-layered fire of God on you and on you and on you and on you, it made the revelation of the source of the fire. The source of the fire is the Holy Ghost showing Jesus. Amen? That's the Spirit. And it's the unity of that that brings the will of God in manifestation. It brings the promises of God into a reality. Amen? Now, here they are. Now, it says they were all filled. And the way you can tell if you're filled is it's going to come out. There's a fire in there. You set a tea kettle on a stove and you fill it full of water. And you put a fire to it. It starts what? Starts talking. Oh, glory. It starts talking. Now, let's see. Go over to chapter 4. Stay with me just a second. Chapter 4. I appreciate Brother Whitley so much. I really do, because with this conversation, God is amazing. So in chapter 3, we have Peter and John being used to heal the lame man, and they get thrown in jail. And in chapter 4, it goes into great detail about they're trying to figure out what to do. And verse 17, here's what the officials told them. It says, verse 16 first. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We can't contradict it. Hey, the man's walking. What are we going to do? We can't deny it. But, verse 17, but that it is spread no further. We don't want it to go any further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Woo! Now, don't you know that they can't help but speak the name of Jesus? Because when that, I mean, every time they thought about that lame man walking, wouldn't you just want to shout, Jesus? Jesus? Tonight, you and I, we need to be so excited because we're not going to hell. We're born again. We're free. Amen. Let's shout the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's let everyone hear it. But notice what happens. This goes back to Brother Corey's song. This is so amazing. What? Remember the song Corey was talking and how the walls moved? That's what happens when you move to the glory. The walls move. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, this is after Peter and John come back to the other disciples. This is all of them. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The place was shaken. The walls were moved. The walls were moved. That's what we were saying about. That's what we were talking about. Amen? Okay? You're the house. You're the house. The walls are fixing to be moved. The walls in your life, the walls in my life are going to be expanded where we can hold more of the glory of God because the fire of God is going to burn the dross out of us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled. What? I thought they were already filled. Come on. We have to be continually and be Ephesians 5:18. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And they were all, where am I at? And they were all, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Oh, hallelujah. The devil is very bold about his sin. I want you to think about it. We got to be so bold in the things of God. I don't think I've ever told this to anybody. It's easy to be bold in our sin. I pulled in the Country Corner one day. I'd been with some people I shouldn't have been with, and had some wild turkey. And I pulled in there at this gas station, and this guy I went to school with, I won't say his name, he pulled in there, and this is how the devil works. We started talking, and I asked him, I said, you want to drink it? I said, it's real good whiskey. That's a lie. There's no good whiskey. And he looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, Sunday night, I just got saved. You talk about shaking me in my boots. Because I knew I was wrong, and I'd been doing wrong. But he said, I just got saved Sunday night, and I don't do that anymore. You know who I'm talking about. And I don't do that anymore. That scared me. And I said, hey, that's great. That's great. You know, I said, I'm proud to hear that. And he shared his testimony with me. I got in that truck. And I got gone. And I got rid of that so-called, quote-unquote, good whiskey. I didn't drink it either. Now, let me tell you. We've got to be bold in the things of God. It's easy to be bold in the world. But God's wanting to light a fire in you and light a fire in me to be bold to bring people out of darkness and to bring them in the light. Now, just like what he simply said to me, I got saved Sunday night. The fear of God come all over me. You and I can say a simple sentence with the anointing of God that doesn't bring condemnation, but it brings the fear, the reverence of a loving God, where God can speak to a person and cause them to realize where they're at and where God wants to take them. Amen? Now tonight, I want you and I to go from the fire to a deeper level of the fire and come into a place of the glory of God. You say, well, that offends me. I've already seen the glory of God. You and I, we have seen a little bit. But here's what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to increase His glory. But here's the problem. Now, don't get mad at me. But I'm just being honest with you, okay? Brother Whitby and I have talked about this several times. Why can God not show His glory the way He wants to? Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, there was envy. At the end of chapter 4, we have Barnabas doing this great thing for God, and envy come in the church. You know, some things you can't even testify about in some churches, not here, but in some churches, because there's such a jealous spirit that it just binds everything up. God's glory was so great on the early church that when Ananias and Sapphira sinned, they were dead. The reason why the glory can't be the way that God would want it to be is He would lose so much of His church. So what we want to do, as we said this morning, progressive revelation brings progressive growth, maturity. So tonight, we want to come and we want to say, Lord God, You know where I'm at, and You know where I need to be. And tonight, I want to step in to the fire, and You burn the dross out of my life, and let me be like Moses. Let me ask to see Your glory. And God will do you like He done Moses. What did He do? God picked him up, and He put him in the cleft of the rock. And He let Moses see what he could see at that time. And tonight, if you and I will let God show us what we're ready to see tonight, we're going to see more tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, until what? The glory is so strong, people will pull out on the parking lot and they're going to start falling. Because they can't stand for the glory of God, because you are carrying such a presence. Because you said yes to God. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we love You, we worship You, we honor You. We thank You, Lord, for Your manifest presence that we feel right here. We thank You that it's progressing. It's growing. There is a revelation that is coming to us like never before. But we say yes to You. And we pull off our earthly shoes. And we put on those very sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're shod with Your grace. And we step into that place because of Jesus. And we ask that as we're in the rock of Jesus Christ, that You show us tonight what we need to see that will enable us, empower us to be a deliverer vessel that can move in somebody's life and bring them to a next place in You. I ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would You come? Would You come and just spend some time with the Lord, make You an altar, and just let the fire, let it come up inside of you. And as the fire takes away anything, then the glory is going to come. The glory is going to come. Let the glory of God just overwhelm you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We praise You, Father. We magnify Your name. We lift Your name on high. We worship You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do in our lives. We receive it, Father.